You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week two in our series, All I Want for Christmas, the only wish list you'll ever need. For more information and to visit us online, go to midcurrentchurch.org. And now, here's Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
At a Christmas party a few years ago, my wife Erica and I, we ended up with a white elephant gift, the ones you kind of exchange around the circle. We ended up with a white elephant gift that we actually enjoy quite a bit. It's a set of his and hers Christmas mugs, nice big mugs with a good solid handle, which is important anytime you're selecting a coffee mug, okay? His and hers coffee mugs. Mine is a green mug with white designs and white writing on it that says Mr. Claus across the front. And Erica's is a white mug with red designs and red writing that says, all Mama wants is a silent night. Okay? Any other, moms have this on their Christmas list this year? Okay? I'm assuming that's the case. This is kind of the running joke, at least, for the life of a mom, isn't it? That after all the diapers and all the crying and all the feeding and all the sleepless nights and all the school lunches and all the laundry and all the homework and all the housework and all the dishes and all the food and all the fighting and all of the times when you simply could not get a moment to yourself, all you really want for Christmas or for your birthday or for Mother's Day or for Arbor Day is some peace and quiet. Am I right? Okay. This is the joke. And I think what makes any joke actually funny is when there's a small slice of truth to it. That's what makes us smile and laugh and go, yeah. It's when there's a little bit of truth to it. And what I think is true about this joke that we all kind of tell, what I think is true is that moms and dads today, men and women, kids and adults alike, are really truly longing for a silent night. Truly longing for a life where all is calm and all is bright. But as if everyday life and responsibility isn't enough on its own, right? The last few years have really turned the heat up a little bit, right? The last few years have cranked the dial. I don't have to remind you of all the extra noise. Right? There's been COVID and that whole deal, and then racial tension and political tension and crazy division, and then the elections, and then the anticipation for the next election, and then the midterm elections, and then there's, you know, been the economy that's all under the microscope and global conflict, and it's all discussed and all debated online, mind you, which is super helpful to the whole thing, right? And all of it only adds to the noise and to the chaos and to the conflict and to the uneasiness that so many of us are already experiencing because of the demands of the life that we already live, right? Stress and anxiety and depression in the world today, even in kids and in youth, man, has skyrocketed at alarming rates. And that's why I think that Erica's mug is not so far off from the truth, except that I would just reiterate it, that it's not just all the mamas that are longing for a silent night. It's all of humanity wishing for, hoping for, searching for, grasping at some kind of quiet in the midst of all the noise and in the midst of all the chaos that is in constant swirling motion around us. Sometimes the noise is louder internally. Sometimes the noise is louder externally. Sometimes it's both. Either way, my prayer for you this Christmas is to experience true peace in a way that you maybe never have before. And so that's what I want to put on your Christmas list and my Christmas list this year in the second week of our series, All I Want for Christmas. The whole series was born from the reality that by this time of year, most people have created a Christmas list a mile long. And let's just be honest, most of the time we get what we want. Right? We circled it in a catalog. We texted someone the exact link. We emailed our family the Amazon wish list that we have carefully, you know, constructed and curated for the last few months. And if your family is anything like mine, most of the time you get the very thing that you asked for. And yet what I think is true for so many of us is that we still feel unfulfilled, right? Inevitably, something still feels off. Nothing ever lives up to expectations. Christmas comes and Christmas goes, and rarely do all of the gifts fill the void that we were hoping they would. Unfortunately, it's all too common a story for you and for me. We get what we wanted. We even get time off of work and time off of school, but nothing seems to really change for the long haul. And so I couldn't help but wonder, what if this year was different? Right? What if we created here together a list of things that we really needed, things that can't be purchased in a store or even purchased online or even on Amazon, which is crazy to think about, right? What if we came up with a list of things that we can't even necessarily gift to each other? See, I'm not anti-Christmas present. I'm really not. It's a lot of fun to give and to receive gifts. I just think there's a few things that if we received them this year, that they truly could make our lives merry and bright all year long. And that's what this series is about, right? It's a few weeks designed for me to share with you what I think could be the only wish list that you'll ever need, okay? Last week, I put purpose on the top of that list. And today, I would add peace to that list. And today, what I want to do is this. I want to try to help you discover what peace is, and also, and maybe more specifically today, what it isn't, so that you might find it and you might experience more of it truly, actually, in your life. We all want more of it, don't we? Right? And by this time of year, we're desperate for it. Right? I think that's why we look forward to Christmas so much, because all the songs and all the stories and all the Bible verses at Christmas, they promise us peace, right? The prophet Isaiah, we read this, you know, section of his, you know, writing. We read it every year at Christmas, that the prophet Isaiah spoke about Jesus, the Messiah, as a wonderful counselor, everlasting Father, mighty God, and Prince of Peace. On the night of Jesus's birth, the angels that were there, they celebrated. You could see it on the screens behind me. They celebrated glory to God in the highest heaven and what? And peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. This is music to our ears. It warms our soul just thinking about it. Yeah, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. More of that, please. Yes, finally, Christmas is here, right? But that warm, fuzzy feeling, if we were honest with ourselves, that warm, fuzzy feeling, it only lasts for a little while, right? Because if we really are continuing to be honest, here's what we all know to be true. January rolls around. The decorations are all taken down. The Christmas music isn't playing anymore. Peppermint mochas are not sold anymore. The snow is just annoying now. The polar vortex is descending upon us. The sweater already shrunk. The toys are already in the back of the closet collecting dust, and you're back at work or you're back at school, and peace could not be further from what it is that you are experiencing in life. Right? This is precisely, it doesn't make any sense to us, right? This was the time of year of peace on earth, and then boom, like that, it's over, it's gone, and we don't feel an ounce of it. So this is what's so tricky about peace, right? We sing about it and we read about it at Christmas, yet rarely do we ever truly experience it for the long haul, right? It's elusive. It always manages to elude us, no matter how often it's dangled in front of us at Christmas. And I would suggest to you today that the reason that peace perpetually eludes us and evades us, the reason that peace is seemingly like, you know, constantly slipping through our fingers is because it's not necessarily what we think it is. We are reaching for something that does not totally exist like we think that it does. And so what I want to do today with the time that I have left, what I want to do today is to help us all understand what the peace that we sing about, that we talk about, that we read about. I want us to help us understand today what peace is and what it isn't. Because I think it's only then that you and I will have a chance to actually experience more of it in our lives. Because I don't think that we always get it right. I mean, the truth is, if I were to take a poll today, this is just in my opinion, if I were to take a poll today, I think most people would assume, if I asked, I think most people would assume that peace is what you experience when problems go away, or when conflict is resolved, or when the crisis is over, right? So the Prince of Peace will bring an end to all of the problems we are facing. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men will mean that finally that crisis has come to an end. But that's not necessarily the case. At least not in the way that the Bible or that even Jesus talks about or refers to peace. In fact, there's one passage of scripture that we're going to look at in a second here. There's one passage of scripture where Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And in doing so, he provides for them and for us, consequently, as well. He provides for them one of the most helpful pictures of the relationship between peace and between the problems that we experience. And I want us to, you know, understand. I want to try to help you understand this relationship a little bit better. And so I want us to look at what Jesus said. It's recorded in the New Testament book of John, and it's recorded near the end of what is referred to as Jesus's, they call it his farewell discourse. And what's happening is this: he's huddled up with his inner circle, and he's very intentionally, he's talking them through the dark days that are just ahead of them. He's attempting to prepare them and guide them through what will be his eventual arrest and his crucifixion and his death and his resurrection. So he's teaching them all about who they are, all about the leaders that they have been empowered to be and how it is that they now should be living their lives in this world. This is his farewell discourse. He's about to sign off, and he's helping them to download everything that they need to know. And right before he concludes this moment with his disciples in prayer, he says this about everything that he has been teaching them. He says this in John chapter 16. I have told you these things from his farewell discourse. He says, I have told you all of these things so that in me you may have peace. And that all your problems will go away? No, he said, I told you all of this so that in me you would have peace. Because here's what you got to know. Here's what he says next. Here's what you got to know. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Okay? So let's slow down and let's think about this for a second. Right? Let's pull this apart as best as we can. Right? He says, in me, you'll have peace. And at the very same time, he says, but take heart. You're going to have trouble in this world. Okay? What did peace depend on in this message to his disciples? What did peace depend on? Okay, the elimination of everything that could go wrong. Hey, fellas, I'm about to leave y'all, but don't worry. Because of me, if you get in line with me, life will be a piece of cake. No, that's not what Jesus is saying about peace. In fact, it was quite the opposite. Jesus says, hey, boys, buckle up. He said, it's about to get wild. He says, keep all arms and legs inside the moving vehicle at all times because the road ahead is gonna be rough. But don't worry, I know how the ride ends. Midcurrent, here's what I want you to understand today about peace, because I think the better we understand it, the more we are likely to experience it in our lives. Peace in the way that Jesus is speaking about, that he came to offer to you and to me. Peace has nothing to do with the absence of a problem. It has everything to do with the acceptance of a promise that Jesus has made to us. Peace has very little to nothing to do with the absence of a problem, and it has everything to do with the acceptance of a promise. Jesus is saying, he's saying, boys, you can bank on it. You will face challenges, but I'm great. Don't worry, I'm greater than whatever you will experience. I'm greater than whatever's going to come your way, so that in me, because of me, because of what I've done, for anyone of you who would follow after me, you can experience peace in your soul, regardless of what is happening in the world around you. Peace was not about the end of a problem. It was just the beginning of a promise that Jesus made to them and to you and to me. The reality is, even God's own people constantly got this backwards. In the days and, you know, the decades and the generations before Jesus, even when God's people heard the prophecies and the predictions of a Messiah, of a Savior, of the Prince of Peace on whose shoulders the government would rest, they could not wait because they thought that meant that their troubles would be over. For generations, God's people, they had been bullied and they had been pushed around by nations far bigger and far stronger than them. And so with the news of all this stuff, the Prince of Peace on whose shoulders the government would rest, they thought, yes, finally, payback will be ours. We won't be pushed around any longer, not with the Prince of Peace on our side. They figured that the Messiah would be, you know, some kind of military hero bringing an end to all of their troubles. Little did they know that one day that Savior would promise that their trouble would not go away, but only that it would not get the last word. Friends, I think peace is so elusive. I think peace always manages to evade us and slip right through our fingers. I think this happens most often because we are hoping for it to be something that it really isn't. Right? One biblical scholar, actually, as I was reading and studying this week, one biblical scholar makes this very distinction about the kind of peace that we are talking about. Here's what he writes. He says, references to peace in the teaching of Jesus or the gospel writers can be fully appreciated only in light of the Hebrew concept of shalom. It's the word we often translate as peace, right? The Hebrew idea then of shalom, it has very little to do with what was happening, you know, out here, but it had everything to do with what was happening right in here, right? Shalom, it referred to an inner harmony and wholeness and completeness and security, even salvation. Right? It had very little, shalom for God's people. It had very little to do with the end of outer conflict, and it had everything to do with the inner assurance of Jesus' promise that while we may lose the battle, he is about to win the war on our behalf. This is the peace on earth that Jesus ushers into the world for us. It's the peace that he is referring to when he greets his closest friends. If we fast forward all the way to the days after his resurrection, right? Over and over again, when he sees his close friends, right? He, over and over again, throughout, especially the book of John, we see that Jesus greets them by saying, "Peace be with you." And this wasn't just a friendly way to say hello, right? This wasn't, you know, Jesus just kind of wishing them well. This wasn't him, you know, with fingers crossed, just saying, "I hope life will finally start to calm down for you guys." It wasn't just some friendly greeting. No, this was his way of saying that peace, very literally, it is with you, it is among you, it is standing in front of you, it is available to you right now in me. It was his way of fulfilling the promise that he made, that for Jesus' followers, because of the victory that Jesus claimed over death and darkness, that harmony was possible in the midst of hostility, that inner calm was possible in the midst of outer chaos. How so? How is any of that possible? Well, it's possible when we understand the peace that Jesus is talking about. It's possible when we understand that peace had nothing to do with the absence of a problem. I mean, quite frankly, I mean, that's just impossible. So many things are out of our control. If our peace depends on every, you know, uncontrollable element of our life lining up just the way we want it, man, we got a long road ahead. Right? This is possible, what Jesus is talking about, when we understand that peace has nothing to do with the absence of a problem. It has everything to do with, and it depends completely on the acceptance of a promise that Jesus has made for us. Peace is not the reward for, you know, for those who choose to follow Jesus. It's fuel for the journey, supplied by the guy that gave up his life so that you and I could have life and have it to the full. All right, folks, true Jesus following, it's not, you know, it's not signing up for a conflict-free life. Yeah, that sounds good. True Jesus following is, in many ways, it's signing up for an intense daily training program that is teaching us how to confront the problems we experience with the promise of Jesus. It is a vital component to the discipleship process, the process by which we start to look and talk and act a whole lot more like Jesus. And when this is the case, right? When this is the case, that we understand that peace is not a reward waiting for us at the finish line, but more so a promise of fuel for the race ahead. When we understand this, when this really truly is the case, then we need to understand something important then, an important distinction about this whole deal. We need to understand that the problems we experience then, they really only expose the degree to which we have truly taken a hold of that promise in the first place. But because the reality is, friends, is this, that the crisis, it doesn't steal our peace. Crisis or conflict or chaos, it really only reveals the level of peace we already had in the first place. Right? Crisis and chaos, it doesn't steal it, it just reveals what's left of it, what exists of it in the first place, right? So many of the things that we let chip away at us, right? They're not actually chipping away at our peace or at our faith or at our hope or at our joy. They're chipping away at our hard exteriors. They're chipping away at the containers of peace and hope and joy, exposing how full or how empty those fuel levels really are. Doesn't steal it. It just reveals it. It reveals the level of it that it already exists within us. So Midcurrent, let me ask you right now, right, to do a little spiritual inventory. As you look within yourself right now, after a long year, after a long few years, as I alluded to, right, in the midst of what, you know, tends to be the most wonderful but also one of the wildest times of the year, let me just ask you to look within yourself right now and to ask yourself, what is your current level of peace? Is it high? Is it low? Does it come? Does it go? Does it rise? Does it fall? Right? What if you look inside yourself right now, as you press pause on a long week or a long month or a long year, ask yourself, what is your current level of peace? And then let me ask you this. What does it depend on? But ask yourself that. What is your current level of peace? And be honest with yourself about what your peace depends on in your life, right? Maybe, you know, maybe peace for you, I mean, it could be any number of things, but maybe peace for you in your life, maybe it depends on the economy or the stock market, and as the market rises and falls, so does your level of peace and inner calm, right? Maybe peace in your life depends on how many emails you have cleared out of your inbox, and so peace only exists when you get to the elusive zero, right, on the unread emails. Maybe peace in your life depends on who's in the White House or who won the midterm elections, or maybe peace in your life depends on, you know, the balance of your checking account or the rising level of debt that's rising or falling in your life. Maybe peace depends, you know, on the last interaction you had with someone whose relationship with you is strained. Maybe peace in your life, it depends on a diagnosis or on something else, some other significant situation in your life right now. I'm not trying to minimize any of that. I'm not trying to minimize any challenge, any crisis, any conflict that you might be up against right now, large or small. I'm not trying to minimize any of that. I'm not trying to say, oh, that's nothing. I'm not saying that if those any of those things or some other thing, I'm not saying that if any of that is maybe out of order, I'm not saying you're not allowed to be, you know, concerned about it. I'm just suggesting don't give all that stuff too much credit, right? Don't give power over your well-being, your shalom. Don't give power over your well-being over to things that are largely out of your control. Instead, I'm encouraging you this Christmas to begin evaluating all year long, not just for the next couple weeks, right? I'm encouraging you this Christmas to begin evaluating all year long all of those things, all of the problems, all of the challenges, all of the hardships, all of the struggles. I'm encouraging you to evaluate all of those things in light of the promise that Jesus has made to you. Don't evaluate Jesus. This is what we do, right? Don't evaluate Jesus based on the size of your problems. Evaluate your problems based on the size of the promise that Jesus has made to you. Because that, friends, I think, that is where true peace is found. Not in the absence of a problem, but the acceptance of a promise. A promise that while the road ahead will be long, the destination is well worth the drive. And that means that you can be at peace along the way, no matter what it is that comes your way. Let me pray for us. God, thanks for this season of Christmas that we really do celebrate light into this world. God, light into the darkness, and we do celebrate peace on earth. God, it really, truly is my prayer that more of us would experience more peace more often in our everyday life, God, all year long. And so, God, I'm just asking that you would help each of us to look within ourselves, to ask and to answer honestly, you know, some questions about, man, what is it that affects and influences the peace that we experience in life? God, and I just pray that you would help us to place more of our trust in the promise that you have made to us. God, not the promise that life will get easier, but God, the promise that you'd made to us that you're there with us, God, that you really are Emmanuel, God with us in the midst of whatever it is that we might experience, God. And so, God, would you be near to us? God, would you be our strength in the midst of whatever it is that we are experiencing right now? Because, God, that's the truth. Life is happening. Chaos is around us. God, conflict is inevitable, and it's unavoidable. So, God, even in the midst of that, would you help us to open our hands and open our hearts to more of the promise that you have made to be with us in the midst of it, God? And as we do, God, accept more of and lean more so on that promise, God, I pray that peace would be something that we experience more often for the journey ahead. God, would you be our guide and our companion on each leg of the race that is ahead? And we pray these things in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus, who does bring peace to this earth, God, and into our lives. We pray this in his name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church.
Visit us online during the week at midcurrentchurch.org and connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. Also, make plans to join us for Christmas Eve Eve services, December 23rd at 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. at our location at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson.